Welcome to From Earning to Learning, the podcast where we talk about all things education. I'm your host, Dave Frangiosa. Welcome to episode 3 of From Earning to Learning. I'm Dave Frangiosa. Today we're going to continue with our series on assessment. In part 2 of this series, we're going to focus on formative assessment and discuss practice, the role of practice, types of practice, and how to support it. As we know, learning is a process that requires repetition. We have to try, make mistakes, get feedback, address those mistakes, try again, and continue repeating this process until we're proficient. This is something that students understand in many different aspects of their life. Like, if they play any instrument or a sport, are part of a school play, or really any extracurricular activity they engage in, they understand if they don't practice or rehearse, there's no way they can improve. They'll spend countless hours with coaches and lessons, and even more time on their own trying to improve these skills. However, when it comes to school, there's a resistance to this idea of practice and learning from mistakes. While this episode is not about grading, it's important to note that if we're grading practice, we're sending mixed messages. We're telling students that this is an important part of the process and it's okay to make mistakes because we'll address those and make sure you understand how to approach this in future attempts. But once a grade is attached, it's telling them that they must do well because, well, this counts. I know there are teachers that are of the mindset that if it doesn't count, students won't do it. And this is a much larger conversation, and we can have that at a later time, and I'm not trying to gloss over it, but from my experience, the way you frame practice determines how most students will engage with it. I mean, we're always going to have difficult students that, you know, they're hard to motivate, and I'm not saying that this is a magic bullet or perfect by any means, but it is a step in the right direction. So the words that we choose and the way that we talk about things makes a difference. If we're still discussing homework and classwork, we're focusing on the location as opposed to the type of practice. Part of my philosophy as a teacher is to move students towards independence. So the setting of the work doesn't really matter to me. With that goal in mind, we frame our practice as either guided practice or independent practice. Guided practice is worked examples or direct instruction that introduces a new concept or skill. A new level of an existing skill, such as moving from developing to proficient or applying a skill in a new context. This can be done face-to-face or through short pre-recorded videos. The benefit of making videos is students can now engage with guided practice in any environment if needed, and you're creating a library and playlist that students can refer back to if they need a refresher. This guided practice is building the foundational understanding of what students are expected to know and do, as well as provide concrete examples of how to respond to different types of questions or prompts. As students get more comfortable, they can move to independent practice. Independent practice is the next step in the cycle, another opportunity for students to try, receive feedback, and adjust. Now, once again, the setting doesn't matter. This can be done in class or at home, and when I say independent, I really mean it's just not teacher-led. You can have students doing this individually, or you can have them grouped. Pretty much any strategy that you've used with your students previously. There are many different ways you can approach independent practice, but whichever way you choose to go, make sure it's still supported. With the independent practice, students will attempt to apply the knowledge and skills they acquired in similar contexts to what they did in the guided practice. The key difference is their responses aren't reviewed until after they have attempted to complete the work on their own. At this point, we can do a whole class discussion and respond to specific questions about approaches to the prompts, provide a detailed answer key, or once again, do pre-recorded videos similar to what we did for the guided practice. The most important aspect of independent practice is that students are giving an honest effort to complete the work and are getting feedback on how that can be improved. Practice is the key to improvement. We need to elevate it to the status it deserves and shift the student mindset from this being a chore that needs to be completed to them understanding this is an opportunity for feedback and growth. In our next installment in this series, we will discuss how to approach feedback that will support this practice and move students towards learning. Thanks for listening. I look forward to hearing your feedback. For more resources, visit www.reimagineschools.com or reach out to me on Twitter @DavidFrangiosa.